I don't know when.
I was so tired when I left the house this morning. I just had like bundles of clothes in my arms. My husband goes, "How long are you going to be gone
for?"
No. Yeah,
Twos
are
lost.
I'm so
Oh no, thank you. They briefed it.
All right. All right. I think we can make quite a bit more progress. I think we can get through Articles 7, 8, and 9. That will leave Articles 10 and 11 are the only ones still open. I'm told that we have one more issue in Article 2. You guys are... we paid for contract beds in the psychiatric residential treatment and didn't adopt the moratorium exception process needed for that. So Representative Dean moves to reconsider the motion by which the conference committee adopted Senate Article 2. On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. And we have the language that allows for the moratorium exception process in order to allow a 20-bed psychiatric hospital for youth under 21 for the state to be able to contract with in order to provide those services. Representative Dean moves the A-125 amendment. Any discussion of the A-125? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. All right. Third time's the charm. Representative Dean moves that Senate Article 2, as amended, be adopted into the conference committee report. On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. All right. And then Article 7... The health department. Who's stepping us? All right. Miss Olson. Oh, I don't. Yeah, go ahead.
You don't want to lose it.
Mr. Chair, for the Health Department, Article Senate Sections 1, 15, and 16 make changes to the Minnesota Department of Health vital statistics.
Hold on. So, all right. Miss Olson. So
that's all I got on that.
All right, that's section one. Senator Sharon moves Article 7, Senate Article 7, Section 1. I know this one is not one that the House is particularly interested in. Maybe, Senator Sharon, you wanted to...
Sorry.
Yeah, this is sort of a... Yeah, this is Senate Article 7, Section 1. It has to do with vital statistics.
Mr. Chair, it changes the it changes what information is made public about birth records.
Yes,
and the contact information for parents.
And
that's Senate Sections 1, 15, and 16.
Yes, I was going to, yes.
And what is the question in front of us?
Well, I mean, we're about to vote on this, and it may not go well for the Senate side, so I thought you might want to just say why this would be.
This is a Senate provision only. I would like to speak to supporting this.
I was thinking
provision.
You might.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. I was arguing about another subject.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you very much. Well, this particular provision is added to the vital statistics. It really, in order to articulate it, I think I have to clarify the purpose of why we amended this into the vital statistics bill that was presented by Senator Wicklund. It's a amendment that is in effect restricting access to birth certificate data, only that data that is of a very personal nature. So vital statistical information is collected by the government for defined government purpose, and the public understands that the vital statistics collected by government are properly used to help us make predictions about the future, such as the number of people who are born and the number of people who have died and other factors that influence the future of our society. And with this information, we can anticipate the number of students that are entering our schools and other institutions, and we can anticipate the growth or the reduction of our overall population as a factor for planning for the future of the state. And we can use this data for deductive research as to the trends in population and its implications for our economy. After this amendment was placed, I want the House to understand that there were a lot of questions that were raised about why we would want to change something that's been in place for centuries. And there have been a lot of things that have changed over the course of the centuries. We used to... especially changes in terms of how we access information, how we collect information, and for what purposes we use that information other than what it was intended for. And we have had a lot of conversations about data and how it should be utilized and who should have access to it. And this has really been the subject of the decade. It's a new kind of consideration for us because of how easily people can access information in bulk. And we really do value government transparency, but we also have another very important value, and that is of personal privacy. A long time ago, centuries ago, you know, people used hieroglyphics. Even in this last century, we did most of our communication by posting letters and sending them over a long period of time to make announcements about births or announcements about deaths. And those announcements were made to the people that we selected to give that information to. But in modern years, our personal data can be quickly gathered electronically and communicated in bulk to persons we do not know, for purposes not known to us. And so because it's not necessarily even to persons whom we trust nor whom we have a given permission, where in the past we did that with our own written communications, we have begun to talk about the fact that since data is collected electronically and can be released in batches of information and bulk information, that maybe we should think again about what kind of data should be distributed in that way. So because in the last several years we've really been spending a lot more time discussing and refining how government can and cannot use the data it collects, because under current law information remains open and easily accessible unless we give direction to the government as to how to treat data, what we can collect or not collect, and how long it can be retained, all of this is a very, very common conversation for us in the Senate and judiciary. This amendment that I had proposed that is in the Senate language gives direction to the Department of Health. It limits the use of birth record data for the purposes for which government collected the data, and the only way it would go past that is if it was approved by a future piece of legislation. So I'm hoping that you appreciate the fact that this is a part of an overall effort that the legislature has been engaged in about really refining and thinking about how the data that we're collecting now should be protected. The data that's collected by the government should be used for the purposes by which the government expected it to be collected for, and that if it goes past that, there should be specific action by the legislature to approve that. And that's the rationale and reasoning for that amendment, and I'm hoping that I am successful in getting support from the House for it.
Any further discussion on Senate Section 1? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign.
No.
Motion does not prevail. Ms. Olson?
Mr. Chair, moving on to Senate Section 2. Senate Section 2 and Senate Section 50 were not funded. Senate Section 3 is a it strikes a transfer from the Health Care Access Fund for MRC funding.
That's combined with Section 8, is that correct?
That is correct.
Representative Dean moves Senate Section 3 and Senate Section 8. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Ms. Olson.
Senate Section 4, 5, 6, and 7 are related to the health information exchange under Chapter 62J.
Representative Dean moves Sections 4, 5, 6, and 7 from the Senate language on that motion. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Ms. Olson.
Senate Section 9 is from Chapter 62U, relates to the all-player claims database.
And Representative Dean moves Senate Section 9. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Ms. Olson.
Senate Sections 10 through 13 are the Health Professional Education Loan Forgiveness Program that is funded.
And the House-only provision, Section 4, was in the Omnibus Agriculture Bill that I think already went to the governor, correct?
Yes, it did.
Excellent. Okay. So we don't have to do it. Right. That's yep. So Representative Dean moves Senate Sections 10 through 13. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Ms. Olson.
House Section 5 is for primary care residency expansion grants, and it is funded.
Representative Dean moves House Section 5. On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Ms. Olson.
Senate Section 14 is the International Medical Graduates Assistant Program, and I believe there is the A101 amendment.
There is the A101 amendment. Senator Hayden moves the A101 amendment. And what this amendment does, I'm led to believe, is it changes the definition of rural. Oh. Well, I'm led to believe that this A101 changes the definition of rural in order to match the definition that exists in the other loan forgiveness programs.
So, oh, yes, that's right.
Excluding the cities of Duluth, Mankato, Moorhead, Rochester, and St. Cloud, it looks like. And that's a suggestion from MDH staff to match the other rural loan forgiveness programs. Any further discussion on the A101 amendment?
Wait a minute. Is this due?
Senator Sharon?
Would you orient me to what this is doing again?
So this is establishing an international medical graduate assistance program. And in doing so, MDH staff have suggested a change in the definition of rural in order to match the definition in the loan forgiveness program that otherwise operates. It looks like if I'm reading it correctly, it would exclude the cities of
Moorhead and
Duluth, Mankato, Moorhead, Rochester, and St. Cloud from being considered rural.
Yes.
I see that somebody from MDH is here. Maybe Mr. Schoenbaum would like to. I think this is probably his. Ms. Kavanaugh, do you have some insights?
Mr. Chair, if you look at the language that it's taking out, what it currently does is the area has to have a population of, I believe, is it 15,000?
Oh, so what this is it's exempting these cities.
So they're already
are
exempt.
Rural.
Right. That right.
This is making them rural, okay. And they otherwise wouldn't be. Boom. That's right. I remember this. I was like, woo.
Bingo.
Glad I asked.
All right. So any further questions on the A101 amendment? Seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. And with that, Representative Dean moves adoption of Senate Section 14 as amended. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Next couple of sections we already talked about. Ms. Olson.
Moving on to Senate Section 17, 18. We're just going to do 7. Just 17. That is patient information services.
Within the HIE, the health information exchange.
Yes.
Representative Dean moves Senate Section 17. On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Ms. Olson.
House Section 6 grants an exception to the consent requirement under the Health Records Act for adult children of a deceased parent.
Representative Dean moves House Section 6. On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Ms. Olson.
Senate Section 18, 19, and 20 make conforming references and changes to the Health Records Act for the patient information services.
Representative Dean moves Senate Sections 18, 19, and 20. On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Ms. Olson.
Senate Section 21 was not funded.
Yep.
Senate Section 22 relates to early preventative dental intervention for infants and toddlers and was funded.
Representative Dean moves adoption of Senate Section 22. On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Ms. Olson.
Senate Section 23 establishes the Minnesota Radon Licensing Act and was funded.
Representative Dean moves Senate Section 23. On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Ms. Olson.
Senate Section 24 relates to violence in hospitals for healthcare workers and was funded.
On Representative Dean, move Senate Section 24. On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Ms. Olson.
House Section 7 requires hospitals to give notices to patients upon discharge and other federal requirements.
Representative Dean moves House Section 7. On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Ms. Olson.
Moving on to Senate Section 25. Through Senate Section 31, these make conforming changes to lead renovation.
Representative Dean moves Senate Sections 25 to 31. On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Ms. Olson.
Senate Section 32 and House Section 9 are substantially similar. They both provide for epinephrine auto-injectors for certain circumstances. The staff recommends adopting the Senate language.
Representative Dean moves Senate Section 32. On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Ms. Olson.
Senate Section 33 to Senate Section 36 all relate to the Department of Health's regulation of nursing homes.
And I have a note that we need to direct staff to replace DHS with MDH.
Mr. Chair, I believe that's just in the summary.
Is that just on the summary?
Yes.
Okay.
The
I
believe the language is okay.
Okay, that's fine then. We won't cross that out. So Representative Dean moves Senate Section 33 to 36, did you say?
Yes.
On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Ms. Olson.
And Mr. Chair, Senate Section 37 could have been included in that motion as well, and it relates to the Office of Health Facility Complaints, investigating complaints for nursing services.
Representative Dean moves Senate Section 37. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Ms. Olson.
House Section 10 modifies the definition of residential hospice facility.
Representative Dean moves House Only Section 10. On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Ms. Olson.
Senate Section 38 and 39 relates to dementia care training.
And was funded.
It was correct. Funded, yes.
Yep. Representative Dean moves Senate Sections 38 and 39. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Ms. Olson.
Senate Section 40, 41, 51, 53, and 54 all relate to transferring the EMS board to the Department of Health, and that was not funded.
Not done. Okay.
So moving on to House Sections 14 on page 16 of the summary. That is the first section of the Born Alive Infants Act, and that goes along with House Section 16. So 14 and 16 are together.
Representative Dean moves House only Sections 14 and 16. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Ms. Olson.
We're now on page 21 of the summary. And House Section 17 has actually been passed by both bodies, so it's not needed in this bill.
Yep.
And House Section 18 directs the Commissioner of the Health Department to do a report on disparities in infant mortality rates.
Representative Mack moves House Only Section 18. On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Ms. Olson.
Senate Section 42 directs the commissioner to consider promising strategies when giving grants for health disparities, and I believe there is an amendment for this provision.
I've got an A110 amendment. Is that correct? Senator Hayden moves the A110 amendment.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, Senator Rosen.
I have the amendment here.
Oh, you have it.
I do. And it number one, it eliminates the health disparities grants that have been ongoing. And then it gives MDH options to address health disparities in innovative ways that have measurable goals. It's language that came from MDH. The Commissioner of Health shall consider applicants who present evidence of a promising strategy to accomplish the applicant's objectives. A promising strategy, which is current law, shall be given the same weight as a research or evidence-based strategy based on potential value and measurable outcomes. I'd like to move that, please.
any questions on the A1 10 amendment? Senator Hayden.
So thank you, Mr. Chancellor Rosen. I know I talked to one of the advocates today about this. I think the part that I didn't understand was the elimination of the disparity grants, or what was the, I guess I didn't understand that, Senator Rosen.
Senator Rosen.
Doesn't do that?
I didn't think so. I was looking at this. I don't see any elimination.
I thought that what I'd heard that Mr. Chair, Senator Rosen, was that we were allowing the new language was allowing the promising strategy. So in line 1.1 towards the end, it's all new language, but the essence of it is a promising strategy shall be given the same way as a research or evidence-based strategy based on the potential value of measurable outcomes. And I understood that to be that often as these grants come through, because of the population that they serve and the organizations that are serving them, they sometimes just don't have evidence-based strategies for them because the issues are so, and it's kind of stuck in this research model. So the promising strategy shall be given the same weight, and that was the essence of what I know the advocates and I think the department was trying to get at in serving these communities. And I actually support that. I just didn't know if there were the elimination part that I just didn't understand.
Well, apparently I didn't understand that, Mr. Chair, very well.
I think we got it straight.
The essence.
All right. Any further discussion of the A110 amendment? Seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. And then Senator Rosen moves Senate Section 42 as amended on that motion. Any discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Ms. Olson.
Senate Section 43 relates to community health boards and was funded.
Representative Mack moves Senate Section 43. On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Ms. Olson.
Senate Section 44 through 49 all relate to the licensing of mortuary science.
And I have a note that there is an amendment.
There is an amendment. It's separate from these sections. It's actually adding in another section, so you may want to adopt
these sections
and then
consider the, okay. Representative Mack moves Senate sections 44 through 49. On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Mr. Chair, I believe the amendment is the A78 amendment from Representative Schumacher.
Representative Schumacher moves the A78 amendment. Okay. So, Representative Schumacher on the A78.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This just allows for facilities that have been using the single embalming room to continue with that policy for an additional 2 years from what they are now to give them a little time to work out the changes that the department and the industry is working on.
And do you know if the department has a position on this, or is there any cost associated with it?
Mr. Chair, I don't believe there's a cost, and I think the department's okay with it, but if you wanted to pull someone up, that would be fine with me.
Let's see if the department wishes to offer any comments. I'm not seeing anyone come forward, so I would assume it's acceptable and there's no cost that needs to be reflected in the spreadsheet. So any further discussion on the A78 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. So then, yeah, that just goes in. All right. Ms. Olson.
House House Section 21 is changing the definition of lodging establishment and is funded in the spreadsheet.
And we passed this on the floor, I know, in the Senate. So Representative Mack moves House Only Section 21. On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Ms. Olson.
Senate Sections 50 and 51 are related to previous sections that were not funded.
Yep.
Senate Section 52 is the Working Group on Violence Against Asian Women and Children, and that was funded.
Representative Mack moves Senate Only Section 52. On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Ms. Olson.
Senate Sections 53 and 54 are also not necessary as they were part of a bill that was not funded. And that brings us through everything currently in Article 7, but I believe that there are three amendments that are being offered as separate sections.
Oh, okay.
I don't know which order you'd like to take them up in. Do you want me to... You want to do yours first? Okay. The A101.
Oh, this is that. Okay. Representative Zerwa.
It's the other A101.
Moves the
A101.
That's the accreditation.
Yeah. Representative Zerwas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. The A101 amendment is an amendment. It's a bill that passed off the Senate floor 65-2. Was sent over to the House, and we're just not going to have time to calendar it. It's adding the Accreditation Association for Ambulatory Health Care as a nationally recognized independent organization for healthcare organizations. I think after the ACA, there was an issue for Medicaid reimbursements where you needed to be accredited, recognized as an accredited body by each state. I think we're going to be somewhere on the 43rd or 44th state to get it done, and I think they're in the hopper for two or three more yet this year.
Any questions on the A101 amendment? Oh.
It's just...
We're getting copies.
Sorry.
Just adds the name of one organization.
Yeah.
Right. What's
one
the name of the organization?
It is the Accreditation Association for Ambulatory Health Care. And if I remember my notes on it, they're the accrediting organization for ambulatory care that the Coast Guard, I think most of the armed services, recognizes. And I think 40-some other states, and they're adding on. They were left out when the accreditation organizations first were in, and it was an issue through reimbursement rates through the ACA and MA reimbursement. That's the push.
And we did pass this on the Senate floor.
It passed 65-2.
Who were the two? No, I
I apologize. Senator, I stand corrected. My other amendment is a bill that passed 65-2 off the Senate floor. This one passed 67-0.
Okay,
I apologize,
right,
Senator.
Right. here's the A101 coming back. Numbers comfortable with it.
Yeah.
Representative Zerwas renews his motion to adopt the A101 amendment. On that motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Thank you.
Representative Zerwas.
The next amendment is the A102.
Representative Zerwas moves the A102 amendment.
All right. Thank you.
Representative Zerwas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members. The A102 is the AARP bill to designate a caregiver. This one passed 65-2 in the Senate. It worked its way through the House. There was one change in civil law that makes it different than what you saw in the Senate, just to be transparent. There was some in civil law, there was some concerns around privacy and designating a caregiver, and how much of the medical record could be shared with that designated caregiver. And so in order to avoid some of that concerns, this language reflects the medical release portion goes back to current law. So a patient would designate a caregiver to get assistance and training, but would have to sign off on the release of any medical record information in order for the hospital to release it.
Who's the Senate author?
Eakin. Phone a friend there on the one. Senator Eakin was the author. It passed off the Senate floor 65-2.
Any question? Any questions, Senator Sharon?
Yes, Representative Zerwas, would you explain again what the concern was in civil law?
Representative Zerwas,
certainly. To be clear, the concern was not on the language you have before you, but what was in the original bill and what had moved through the House committee process. It allowed for, as a patient designated a caregiver, the hospital was then directed to provide some medical record information, some medical history information for the caregiver. And so there was some concern within civil law about how much of a medical record that designated caregiver would have access to. So there was a very cumbersome amendment drafted in civil law that worked its way forward. Much easier than doing that in consultation and working with the hospital association. We're going to that for that release portion. It would go back to current law where, and for any medical record information release, there would have to be a patient sign-off.
All right. Senator Sharon.
Yeah. Well, I'm not so sure that isn't a good idea. You know, I'm inclined to think it might be a good idea. I just am very confused as to why it's a good idea to protect information here in the way that you have, and that you as a group voted against keeping information that's private and personal in vital statistics from being distributed without some direction to the Department of Health. Can you help me understand why you voted against that proposal when you're asking us to vote for this one?
Representative Zerwas?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Sharon, I understand that concern. I truly do. I think the concern that we have around here, or some have around this language, or the previous language, was the idea that if you designate a caregiver, how much of that medical chart or medical record a designated caregiver would have access to. Is it three diagnoses ago? Is it more? So I think it's the depth and breadth of the medical record itself that would be in question. In the previous example, it was more, less maybe personal data than, you know, what a diagnosis might be, what a treatment might be, wound care, that type of stuff. That's all I have for you today.
Senator Sharon?
I guess it seems to me that, you know, what is personal information and having some limitations about who that goes to is, you're saying in one case that makes a lot of sense, but it's unclear to me if this is a recommendation from the House, why all of you are not supporting protecting very personal and private information that's coming out of birth records. I just don't get the absolutely dichotomous position that you're taking, especially since the other proposal allows for you in the future to direct the department to give that personal information out in very specific situations. It just says that you have to be explicit about the appropriate utilization. So please help me understand why I should support this when you didn't support it in a previous request that I made of the House about how to treat private data, personal data, from being given to people in bulk, for purposes other than for which it was collected. two people for purposes that the person doesn't know who they are, what they're going to use it for. They don't know if they trust that person, and there's just no limitations on it. I just don't get the contradiction in the position that you're taking with what you're putting in front of us now.
Representative Zerowatz?
Mr. Chair and Senator Sharon, I completely understand that. I understand your position. I understand what may be perceived as dichotomy. I think another important thing to consider, Senator, is the provision that was not adopted by the House was not, to my knowledge, introduced as a bill in the House. It did not receive a hearing in the House. In our health policy and our health finance, certainly not in our civil law committee. And so I think that is certainly a reason why we as conferees wouldn't go along with that. So I think there's that portion. Whereas as this bill in concept has gone through the Senate process completely and passed off the floor with a vote of 65-2.
Thank you.
Senator Sharon.
You know, I appreciate the distinction that you're making now, and I guess I should have taken that into consideration. It's not related to this conference committee report, but in a DHS policy bill, when we came to confer the differences between the House and the Senate for the policy bill, I did accept some language that was not considered at any level in the House related to electronic medical records. It was not heard in the Senate. The Senate had no language in relationship to that. But we extended ourselves to be accommodating to the House on something that was difficult to extend to. But I don't see the same courtesy being returned from the House in relationship to something that I don't think is even problematic. It's a simple statement that says very personal and private information from the birth record must be retained and deducted from the distribution because of the very nature of electronic and bulk information. And that if there is somebody that specifically wants to use that they have to come to the legislature and be explicit about that so that we can have a voice about how that data is used and not used. So, you know, when you're talking about, in this case, you didn't have a position, you know, if that's the criteria, then, you know, we may have to make changes in other bills that are coming forward where I accepted things that were not in the Senate's in any way reviewed by the policy committee or in any way allowed departments to indicate the implications of what that change would be. So again, we're playing all of a sudden by different rules around very one specific simple provision on vital statistics.
And Mr.
Representative Zerowatz.
And I'll say, Senator, and I completely understand and I respect your frustration, and I understand that. I had this amendment drafted earlier this morning when I knew there was just absolutely no way that I was going to have time to get this bill advanced and calendared and heard on the floor. I think it's a good bill. I think it's good policy. I think it's the right thing to do. If we're sending someone home, that's going to need some extended care and some assistance. I mean, I was, I think, 15 years old when I went home with a Hickman catheter through my chest and a box of bandages, and they said, "All right, Mama Z, take Nick home and take care of him." And so I've been there as a patient. I've experienced that. I'll fully admit I didn't take into considerations the ramifications of interplay of what happened in one conference committee and what was going to happen in another and what provision might be adopted and what wouldn't. I had this drafted earlier today because I knew I wasn't going to get it heard on the House floor, and I think it's really good public policy, and I think it's going to help some families out.
And
Senator Sharon.
I don't think the issue here is about what we voted on in the Senate, which was about the designation of a caregiver, and the value of that certainly is what we voted on. It is the portion that we voted on in the Senate. We didn't do the civil law. I don't think that what you're saying in that section of this that we didn't take an action on is bad policy. I'm just struck by how the House would not apply the same standard of concern about privacy to vital statistics that you're asking for in here and in other places in these bills. And I'm asking you to explain that to me, Representative Mack. Can you explain to me why I should vote for this when you didn't vote for the same principle in vital statistics? May I ask that question?
Well, I mean, you can ask. Representative Mack can reply or not. I mean, Representative Mack?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Sharon. I guess, you know, Senator Sharon, I listened to your explanation as you walked through. That was something that I wasn't real familiar with, something that we had heard in the House. And so I, you know, when it comes to some of these data things, tread carefully in terms of the direction we go if we haven't put it through the process. And so how that reflects on what we're doing right now, I guess we can, you know, we can each decide. But I'd be more than happy to continue to talk about the particular thing you were mentioning. But that's why I voted the way I voted. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Dean.
Thank you, Senator. And Senator Sharon, I really appreciate your concern over this and also the concern over privacy for information. It's obviously one that's always very contentious. There's nothing more personal than our own information and that of our family's information and health records. And that's something that's it's a big deal. It's a big data privacy is a big deal, particularly in connection with health records. In the House, it's been very closely watched. Representative Holberg was a very strong leader in this area. And we continue that now. And, you know, I was just looking at the provisions that we had in Section 2. We had one of your bills that we passed, and we had a House section that was very different than the Senate section. The reason for that was that the language that you had was moving through the House, and for data privacy concerns, we didn't pass your language. We put more restrictions on it for consent and for data release. We adopted your provision in Section 2 because it was very important to you, and that was disappointing to the House and particularly the House author, and I had to call her and tell her that she was going to be extremely disappointed that the data privacy provisions that she had fought for in her committee and worked very hard about were not, in fact, adopted. So those are things that we, you know, are very important to us, very important to you, and it's something that that we take seriously.
Darn, at about 2 a.m., things usually start to move faster, but Senator Sharon.
Well, I'm
sorry, Mr. Chair.
I'm not.
Senator Sharon.
I was trying to listen to the essence of what Representative Dean was referring to, and when you were talking about your provision, and were you talking about a bill of mine, or was it a provision? You're talking about a Senate provision.
No, that was a Senator. That was a Senator Champion bill.
Sorry, I thought that was your bill.
I just was a little lost on what I was.
But it was a Senate provision.
But the subject of the bill,
Senator Hayden.
I just had two questions. Is this Representative Zerwas, is this bill, is this version, is this amendment, you said it went through the Senate? Is that what you said?
A portion of it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Senator. This is the medical release portion. Basically, we removed in this language, we've removed the release portion so it would default back to current law, where they would need to get a signed release by the patient.
So we have a portion of this that went through the Senate.
Correct.
Oh,
correct.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So I wanted. I was kind of fading in and out a little bit. It's getting late, and so I wanted to really understand that. I you know, I'm torn. I think that this is a pretty good piece of policy, and I'm not quite sure that I have a problem with what you are proposing here. However, I am thinking about the precedence that was set with respect to data privacy on just the earlier amendment that Senator Sharon had about, and I can't, and I've been listening intently to Representative Dean and you, Representative Zerwas, about just how do we deal with this if you, if the House is really saying that they really want to take a good look at data privacy and they want to really make sure that it's right and it's personal. And I served with Representative Holberg, and she did a good job. And if that is your principle, if that's the value system that we have, and the House is really watching this like a hawk, then I don't see why you wouldn't have supported Senator Sharon's proposal that really did the same thing and really kind of said, hey, we want to make sure that this information, vital statistics, and when they get out, that they only go to for its intended purpose. And we want to watch that like a hawk and make sure that that's done. And so I guess I won't belabor it in late, but I don't necessarily know just on principle if I can support this. Not that this, I just want to let you know, Representative Zerwas, I know that you do good work and this is probably going to be good for folks, but I just can't get my arms around the previous proposal and your and the principles that you didn't vote for it, and then now wanting us to then come back to that and then vote for this. And I just can't get that in my mind. I'm not as articulate as Senator Sharon was about that, but I'm just struggling with how we're going to move forward with this.
Representative Zerwas, last comment.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Senator, and I'll be brief, and we can vote, and if, you know, I think it's a really good piece of policy, and if we can't turn it into law this year, we'll try again next year. I will say just a brief comment, but Chair Dean did make a good point that in Section 2 previously adopted, we have the Hennepin County, the Hennepin Health provisions that rely very heavily on data-specific and data-specific treatment and decisions. And our same civil law committee crafted a very involved and somewhat cumbersome data release provision that we got around, and we found a way, another amendment, to make it workable, but it was going to be more hoops for Hennepin Health to jump through to enact that. We came to conference here, and knowing that the Senate had the original language around that data and that data sharing for Hennepin Health, Chair Dean talked to the chair of the Civil Law Committee and said, you know what, we're going to go with the Senate provision on this one. I think the difficulty is, you know, I won't use the middle of the night cliche, but you see something at first blush that has data in it, and it hasn't been. Yep. Listen.
All right. Any other discussion on the A-102 amendments? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Aye.
No. The motion does not prevail. Any other amendments on Article 7?
Yes, Mr. Chair, there is the A-109 amendment. I believe that's being offered by Chair Dean.
Representative Dean moves the A-109 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This is an amendment that goes after liability for providers if they fail to provide data that they would be protected from liability. Also, it provides an opportunity for the patient to be given information to opt out of providing that information, including medical records, financial records related to medical expenses. That is the gist of the amendment, and appreciate members' support. Happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Well, any discussion? I think the Senate has some issues with this, but any discussion? Senator Franzen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just like Representative Dean to maybe elaborate why this is needed and give us some more context. onto this amendment and where it came from.
Representative Dean.
Senator Franzen, to provide additional protection for data privacy and records for both for the individual and also to provide liability for the provider so that they would not fear or be liable for actions for not providing that information. That's in it in a nutshell. Appreciate your support.
Any other questions on the A-109 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
No. Motion does not prevail. Are there any other amendments to Article 7?
No, Mr. Chair. I think we're good to go.
All right. So Representative Dean moves adoption of Article 7 as amended into the conference committee report. On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Let's knock out one more article anyway. Article 8, I think we're ready for the health care delivery article.
You're going to do an amendment?
Ms. Kavanaugh.
Mr. Chair, members, Article 8. Senate sections 1, 2, 3.
Ms. Kavanaugh, can you get right up to the microphone? Oh. Thank you.
And House sections 1, 2, and 3. These are deal with telemedicine, and the differences here are in the effective date, and I believe the deal is to take the Senate effective date. And then on subdivision 3, there are some differences, and it's recommended to take the Senate subdivision 3, and then we would not take Senate subdivision 4. And that's later.
So, if I understand you correctly, Senator Rosen would move Senate sections 1, 2, and 3, with the exception of section 3, subdivision 4.
Right.
On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. And I believe, just to tie things up a little bit on that, the last change to the spreadsheet that we adopted, that dropping of Section 4 was what resulted in the $435,000.
Mr.
savings.
Chair, no, that's coming
that's
later.
That's not. Okay.
It's in the medical assistance section.
Okay.
We haven't gotten that yet. Okay, now we go way, we go past, we go.
Got a lot of stuff we're not doing.
1, 2, section, or page 12. Senate section 33. That's in the tracking, and there is an amendment, A94.
Representative Dean moves the A94 amendment. Yeah, Ms. Kavanaugh, can you tell us about the A94 amendment?
I remember what it is.
It's an amendment regarding stratifying quality measures.
Crap. I got to find it in my stuff.
We'll have to pass.
Can we go back? Yeah.
On.
It's a technical amendment that was.
So we'll move on and try to find the A94 amendment and come back to
that
it.
Was gonna happen.
Ms. Kavanaugh.
A94, here it is.
You've got a copy of it.
Okay. Oh.
Sorry. Okay, moving on. Senate Section 34, 35, 36, I believe, are all in the tracking and can be moved together.
And Representative Dean moves Senate Sections 34, 35, and 36. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Ms. Kavanaugh.
Senate Section 37, 38, 39. I believe the we're taking the Senate.
Okay.
Those differences.
Representative Dean moves adoption of Senate Sections 37, 38, and 39. On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Ms. Kavanaugh.
Senate Section 40 and 41 and House Section 3 and 4, they're identical and they're in the
section.
Tracking. Take the Senate.
Three, okay. Representative Dean moves Senate Section 40 and 41. On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. You know, I think we can go back to that one we skipped now. It looks like we've got the A94 amendment distributed for Senate Section 33. Let's see.
A94 is it's just a technical amendment.
A94 is a technical amendment. Any questions on the A94? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. And then Representative Dean moves Senate Section 33 as amended. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Ms. Kavanaugh, I think we're on Section 42, correct?
42, and this deals with telemedicine and within the medical assistance, and there is the A132, and that's that makes change that will take down the cost that you were referring to. And it's to the, so we take the Senate language with the 132.
So Senator Rosen moves the A132 amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just like to, on the record, thank Representative Mack and Senator Sharon for continuing the work on this and making a compromise. This is a really good piece of legislation. I appreciate this very much.
Any further discussion on the A-132 amendment? Seeing none on Senator Rosen's motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. And then Senator Rosen moves Senate Section 42 as amended. On that, any discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Ms. Kavanaugh.
Senate Section 43 and 44. They're in the House as well. They're in the tracking. I think you take the Senate on both of those because of the Senate language recommendation in 44.
Representative Dean moves Senate Sections 43 and 44. On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Ms. Kavanaugh.
Section 45, that's in the tracking that also deals with the measurements and the reporting system and the quality measures.
Representative Dean moves Senate Section 45. On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
46 and 47 are out. Senate Section 48. and Senate Section 49 and Senate Section 50 are all related to the CEMT, and we'd recommend the Senate language.
Representative Dean moves Senate Sections 48, 49, and 50. On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed, meow.
The motion does prevail.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosa.
I am so busted.
He's been feeding the cat.
Ms. Kavanaugh.
That's it.
Oh, that's fine.
We're done.
Is that it? Okay.
We needed that.
And so that concludes Article 8. And Representative Dean moves adoption.
I do have an amendment for Article 8.
Article 8. Senator Franzen.
I think it's in KC 19, unless Ms. Kavanaugh has a different number.
No, I think it's up there. Big fat one.
Big fat one.
Big fat one.
I'm missing the copies.
Senator Franzen moves the KC 19 amendment. Senator Franzen.
Mr. Chair and members, this is a lot of Article 8 had to do with prior authorization. I want to bring the discussion. It's a shame that we didn't have the ability to have the discussion in the House. We did have thorough debate on prior authorization for medication in the Senate. It actually went through four committees, so a lot of discussion with stakeholders right from the beginning of session. Similar to some of the bills or some of the amendments that we have adopted today, from both sides, it's good policy, it's a good bill, and I want to just go through it real briefly. I know it's late, and we could probably be talking about prior authorization for 2 hours, and we don't have that, but I do want to mention the reasoning why this bill is important, why I think we need to have this discussion, if not now, in the future. But we could have made a lot of progress this session. So prior authorization for medication, for those of you who are not aware, I think most stakeholders in this room are aware of it because they were involved in all those discussions, deals with the time that patients and doctors and physicians are having to deal with the lack of clarity and lack of transparency when it comes to getting the medications that they need on a timely basis. It also deals with formulary changes that plans currently have in place, where they basically can change their formularies and the drugs that are on there at any time during an enrollment year. And a lot of patients walk away from the pharmacy without their medications that they need and have unclear rules of what medication would replace those that they are actually being prescribed for. So this bill deals with those unclear rules. It sets some guardrails. I've been working with the stakeholders all session, and I do want to give thanks to DHS for walking through this with me, as well as the Council of Health Plans, which actually came to the table to recognize that we have an issue in this area and recognize that we needed to do something about it. And I know those discussions are ongoing. But basically, the bill would really benefit patients. We have over 40 patients patient advocacy groups supporting it. And these are the most chronically ill patients that we deal with, people from the mental health community, people from the Epilepsy Foundation. There's actually a website, FixPA Now. So if you haven't heard about the issue, please go there as well, because it's an important issue, and it's bipartisan. I want to thank Senator Rosen for signing on to this bill. She's been part of those discussions. We've actually passed it through voice vote through all committees, and
I would say most of it, if not all, was on a bipartisan level. So I know it's a big amendment coming through. I wish we had the ability to have had the discussion in the House, and I hope we do are able to move that discussion forward. And I think as you learn more about the issue, you would understand that you have constituents in your district, and you would hear all the stories of how patients are really suffering from not getting the medications they need and not having the alternatives to actually keep their treatments. And I think this bill would go a long way, and it's a reasonable bill. I know that we don't have the 2 hours to talk about it, so I'm not going to go into the details, but I did want to bring it forward. I am planning to withdraw the amendment as well, because I think at the end of the day, I think a lot of people around this table will support it, and I just want to put a place marker here that I'd be wanting to work with you during the interim and hopefully next session so we can do something good. And it's a cost containment measure as well. Right now, physicians are estimated to spend more than $60,000 of their time dealing with paperwork just to get the scripts that they need for their patients. And that's not counting the staff time and the time the patients are being moved around until they get what they are needing to treat their conditions. So again, it's looking for clear rules, it's looking for transparency and actually cost savings, which I, similar to telemedicine, I think they're there when people are getting the treatment that they need at the time that they need versus ending up in the ER and potentially in the criminal justice system. So again, members, I just want to bring this issue again to your attention and wanting to engage in the discussion. And I know it's late at night, so I will leave it at that if anyone has questions. Otherwise, certainly want your support in the future.
Senator Franzen, you know, you've done phenomenal work through the Senate. I actually sat through a couple of the committees waiting to present some of my bills. And I know these are very lengthy conversations, and you've been a tremendous advocate for this. I've, over the course of this, become a very strong advocate myself and understand that today is not the day and really respect that you're planning to withdraw this and would add my voice to those that would push for a solution to this. As many of us travel around, we hear these stories firsthand by patients and by frustrated and by physicians frustrated as well by the bureaucratic issues involved and the inability to access pharmaceuticals in the best way for their care and maintenance. So I respect that you've withdrawn this, and any further discussion of the KC 19 amendment? Seeing none, I guess we can adopt the Article 8 unless there's any other amendments in Article 8. Representative Dean moves adoption of Article 8 as amended into the conference committee report. On that motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. We can move on to Article 9, the health licensing boards. I think we're ready to go through that. I think that's been pretty much worked out with conferees. Who's going to step us through that one? Ms. Kavanaugh?
Okay. Mr. Chair and members, I think the first one
It's my understanding that the Senate is not going to take the House sections 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on the body tattoo list. So we would, and not section 7, so we would go to House section 8 and 9 and 10. And I believe 11 and 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Why don't you do that?
Representative Dean moves House sections 8 through 19. On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Ms. Cavanaugh.
On section 20, 21, 22,
it's okay.
23, 24, 25, should we keep going? 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34. Let's go to that. How's that?
That works great. Representative Dean moves House sections 20 through 34. On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Ms. White.
How about Ms. Cavanaugh?
Ms. Cavanaugh.
Section 35. We're going to take the House, Section 35. This is in a Senate bill that passed the Senate floor, but I believe that the decision is to take the House language in Section 35. Oh, some of these we didn't want to take, did we? Oh, well, we'll just take them out.
Ms. Cavanaugh, how far did we get? We started at House Section 35, correct?
Right. Why don't we just do House Section 35 separately?
Okay.
There is a difference in a Senate bill that passed the floor, but the decision was to take the House language in Section 35.
Ooh, okay. Representative Dean moves House Section 35. Any discussion? Seeing Senator Sharon.
I just want to make clear here that this this is the vaccine language. I think that Senator Rosen has worked this language through. What we are doing, what we worked out in the conversations about this is that it, and it doesn't say it here in this language here. I'm sure it's in the more extensive language, but all of these vaccines require a protocol from a physician or from an advanced practice nurse or a physician's assistant. Who have, you know, can write a protocol for the pharmacist to give these vaccines to patients. And so, and that was the difference, was that the Senate wanted to only allow a vaccination. I was so tired, I can't think of the word to describe. It's not just one, it's a series booster. A booster vaccine. It has to occur after the original is given by the physician, then boosters can be given by the pharmacist. But we've said, because the protocol language is in the House, that we'll simply accept that and we won't restrict a certain set of vaccines to just boosters. So that doesn't say that here, but that's really what the discussion was about with the House when we were going through this language, to accept the House's language. And that's acceptable to the author and the Senate. So.
Okay. Any further discussion on the Representative Dean motion to accept House Section 35. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Ms. Cavanaugh.
Then House Section 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41 we're going to take.
Representative Dean moves House Sections 36 through 41. On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Then House Section 42, 43, 44, 45 have already been passed in another bill. And then we're going to take the House Section 46, but we're not going to take the repealer of 214.105. So that comes out, but the rest of the repealers we're going to take.
Okay.
214.105 is deleted.
Okay. So Representative Dean moves House Section 46 repealer with the exception of Section 214.105. On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Okay. And we're not going to adopt that section just yet. I think we're going to go into recess for a little while, work out a couple of the last items, and probably come back and close this up. I think all we have left is finishing any discussion on Article 9. We have Article 10 and 11, and then the appropriations article is Article 12. I don't think we have to adopt that, and we're coming close to an end here, but we it's at the call of the chair. It might go quickly. It might take a little while. We stand in recess. All right, we're going to call the hopefully last session of the HHS Omnibus Budget Bill for 2015 together and try to get through this thing.
Let's not do that one. Let's do the other one.
No, we have to get it to the revisor. We have to get another article to the revisor. They're trying to get the length. It's going down. That's what it is. Can I get the thumbs down from you two?
For what?
So I think we have finished all we're going to do on Article 9. Representative Dean moves adoption of Article 9 as amended into the conference committee report. On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Okay, all we have left, members, are Article 10 and Article 11.
It's good.
Mr. Chun.
Mr. Chair, in Article 10, the first section to act on is Senate Section 2 and House Section 1. This is dealing with the governor's third-party liability provisions, and the difference is that the House has a sentence in paragraph F that states if an insurer needs additional information to process a claim, the insurer is granted an additional 30 business days. The Senate corresponding language would require claims other than clean claims to be processed according to federal timelines, and otherwise it's identical.
Okay. Representative Dean moves Senate Section 2. On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Mr. Chun.
The next section is House Section 2. This is dealing with resident dentists. This is a section that the House has, but the Senate doesn't.
Representative Dean moves House Article 1, Section 2. On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Mr. Chun.
The next sections deal with non-emergency medical transportation. These are Senate-only sections 3 to 10.
Senator Sharon moves Senate sections 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Non-emergency medical transportation. And these are drafted in such a way as to match the spreadsheet tracking.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Okay, on that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
And Mr. Chair, just to point out, actually, Section 10, it's a Senate-only provision, but it deals with sort of the third-party payers. It's one of the governor's recommendations. That's not a non-emergency medical transportation.
Okay.
Then the next section would be dealing with hospital payments. These would be Senate sections 11 to 15, and there are some House sections as well, but I believe that tracking is based on the Senate language, and there is an A96 amendment.
And an A104, is that correct?
Mr. Chair, yes. The A104 is a correction to the A96.
Okay, so Representative Dean moves the A96 amendment, and then also the A104. And Representative Dean moves the A104 amendment to the A96 amendment. And somebody want to find them and pass them out?
And, Mr. Chair, the A96 amendment is, I think, sort of clean up and clarifying language that's provided by the department. And A104 is a technical correction to that.
So on the A104 amendment to the A96 amendment, let's just get the A96 in shape. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Then we better get them before us.
Yeah, I have it. I'm good.
Okay, members have it. This is for the hospital rebasing and the dish adjustments, it looks like. And Representative Dean renews his motion on the A96 amendment as amended by the A104 amendment. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
And Mr.
With
Chair,
the amendments, then, Representative Dean adopts Senate sections.
Sections 11 through 15.
11, 12, 13, 14, and 15 as amended. On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Mr. Chair, the next section is Senate only. It's Senate Section 16. This is providing legal services to individuals with an emergency medical condition.
And it matches the
tracking
spreadsheet. Representative Dean moves Senate Section 16. On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Mr. Chun.
Mr. Chair, the next section, Senate Section 18, House Article 8, is identical. This deals with dental services provided at the University of Minnesota and allows residents to be MA providers, and it's identical.
Representative Dean moves Senate Section 18. On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Mr. Chun.
The next section is Senate Section 21, House Section 11. This is the governor's recommendation, medication therapy management, and this is in tracking. It's identical.
Representative Dean moves Senate Section 21. On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Mr. Chun.
The next several sections, these deal with non-emergency medical transportation payment rates. This would be Senate Sections 23 to 26, and again, this is in tracking.
Representative Dean moves Senate Sections 23, 24, 25, and 26. Mm-hmm. On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Mr. Chun.
The next section is House Section 13. This is House only, dealing with licensed physician assistants and billing for outpatient services. And I don't believe this is a money item.
Representative Dean moves House Article 1, Section 13. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
The next section, Senate Section 27, House Section 14, permits the commissioner to set reimbursement rates for certain categories of medical supplies at a level below the Medicare payment rate. Which, I'm sorry, it strikes that language, and it's identical in both bills.
And there was going to be an amendment at one time. Is this the one where there's not going to be an amendment?
Mr. Chair, I believe Mr. that Chubb. Was a different section that we haven't got to yet. And,
okay.
And yes, that there will not be that amendment.
Okay, but this isn't okay.
right. Yes,
Representative Dean moves House Article 1, Section 14. On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Mr. Chun.
Next section, Senate Section 28 is House only. This is in tracking and deals with payments to FQHCs. This is Senate only. Senate Section 28.
Okay.
Yep.
Representative Dean moves Senate Section 28. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Mr. Chun.
Next section, Senate Section 29, House Section 15. This is the governor's recommendation related to EPSDT screenings, and it's identical.
Representative Dean moves Senate Section 29. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Mr. Chun.
Next section is Senate Section 30, House Section 16. This is federal compliance related to MA co-payments. It's identical in both bills, but there is an A-111 amendment that makes a technical correction to a citation.
Representative Dean moves the A-111 amendment. Looks like this is just a technical cross-reference.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Correction. On the A-111 amendment, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Mr. Chun. Wait a minute. We just adopted the amendment.
Right.
Now Representative Dean moves adoption of Senate Section 30. On that, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Mr. Chun.
Next section is Senate Section 31, a Senate-only provision creating an opioid prescribing improvement program, and this is funded and tracking.
Okay. Representative Dean moves Senate Section 31. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
The next section is on page 15 of the summary. This is Senate Section 32, dealing with the certification of behavioral health homes. This is funded in tracking with a six-month delay. So the effective date would be July 1st of 2016.
Do we have to change the effective date, Mr. Chun?
Staff can do that
staff
in the market,
that.
If that's okay.
Representative Dean moves adoption of Senate Section 32 with the correction of the effective date to come in line with the spreadsheet. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Mr. Chun.
Next section is Senate Section 33, House Section 18. This is the healthcare delivery pilot program for North Memorial health care. This is similar in both bills. The tracking funds the House, or the House bill has no cost because it does not have the report.
So
the House language is what's assumed in the tracking.
Right. So Representative Dean moves House Article 1, Section 18. On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
And Mr. Chair, John, the next several set of sections deals with managed care administrative costs. We already adopted earlier the A86-2 amendment to the House language. So what you could do would be to adopt House sections 19 through 23.
Representative Dean moves adoption of House sections 19 through 23 as amended earlier in the day. On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Mr. Chung.
And Mr. Chair, there is a section in Senate Section 35 in paragraph D of that section that is tied to tracking and is in the tracking. This requires the commissioner to reduce plan administrative expenses, and I believe the percentage should be by 0.50 of a percentage point. Without another following reduction in January 1 of 18. So it's just the 1.50 reduction. And staff can modify the language.
If staff could modify that language to accommodate the tracking sheet, that would be helpful.
Okay.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chair, did you want to adopt, say, paragraph D of Senate Section 35
with
the staff changes? And
Representative Dean moves adoption of Senate Section 35, paragraph D, making the conforming change to have the 0.50% of a percentage and dropping the rest. On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Mr. Chung.
Mr. Chair, the next section is on page 21. This is Senate Section 40, House Section 24. It deals with payments to critical access hospitals. It's identical except replacement of the language, and the staff would recommend the Senate language on this.
Representative Dean moves Senate Section 40. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Mr. Chung.
The next provision is House Section 25. This is House only. It increases certain therapy payments for Gillette Hospital, and this is in tracking.
Representative Dean moves Article 1, Section 25. On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Mr. Chung.
The next section is Senate Section 41, House Section 26, increasing dental reimbursement rates. Tracking, I guess, funds the House language, and there is an amendment to the House language, which is A107, that could be passed out. And what this amendment does is it would apply the increase only to dental providers located outside of the 7-county metropolitan area. So it would use the same money that's in tracking, but apply it to a smaller group. So the actual percentage increase would be a little bit higher.
Who's going to offer the A107? Representative Dean offers the A107 amendment.
I'll offer the amendment. I think Mr. Chun represented it fairly well.
Any questions of members? Seeing none, on the A107 amendment, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. And then we will,
Mr. Chair,
adopt.
Mr. Chair?
No. Senator Rosen.
There is another amendment, the A136.
Oh, to this
section?
Section?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Senator Rosen moves the A136 amendment.
No, excuse me, Mr. Chair, hold on. Mr. Chair, never mind. We'll catch it at the end. Oh, sorry, Mr. Chair. We do have the A36. Oh, 136.
Okay. Senator Rosen, you've shown me this before.
Thank you.
This doesn't really have a fiscal cost.
Mr. Chair, if I could just explain this, that there, for critical access for Greater Minnesota, there's a 50% threshold that they have to take MA patients, and then also they have to, the dentist and 2.7 cannot restrict access or services because of patients' financial limitations or public assistance status, and we had that conversation about this self-restriction restriction piece, that this is a real barrier to opening up the service to other MA patients and continuing service, especially for Greater Minnesota. Because once someone knows that there is a dentist that is taking MA patients, they come from miles and hours away. So this is one of the pieces. It's just one of the pieces that's really hampering access to increasing our MA coverage out in Greater Minnesota. So I would appreciate it.
Any questions on the A136 amendment? Seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. So now Representative Dean moves House Article 1, Section 26 as amended. On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Mr. Chung.
Mr. Chair, the next section, we're on page 23. This is House Section 27. This is reimbursement for an increase in payment for physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapy, and this is funded in tracking.
Representative Dean moves House Article 1, Section 27. Any discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Motion prevails. Mr. Chun.
Next section is also House only. This is House Section 28. It increases payment rates for certain services for Gillette Hospital, and it also increases payment rates for durable medical equipment, prosthetics, and orthotics. And this is funded in tracking.
Representative Dean moves House Article 1, Section 28. Any discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Motion prevails. Mr. Chun.
The next section is Senate Section 44, House Section 29. This deals with payment rates for durable medical equipment. It also provides a higher rate for Gillette Hospital. This in the House, and so the House language is funded in tracking.
Representative Dean moves House Article 1, Section 29. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Motion prevails.
Mr. Chair, next section is Senate Section 45, Senate only. It establishes an integrated care for high-risk pregnant women, and this is in tracking.
Representative Dean moves Senate Section 45. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Same sign. Motion prevails. Mr. Chun.
The next sections are in both House and Senate, and these deal with federal compliance for the Minnesota Care Program. And these sections are identical. This would be Senate Sections 46 through 48 and House Sections 3 to 5.
Representative Dean moves Senate Sections 46, 47, and 48. On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Mr. Chun.
And I believe the next sections the committee wants to act on would be Senate Sections 50 and 51, House Sections 6 and 7. Again, these are federal compliance sections and identical.
Representative Dean moves Senate Sections 50 and 51. On that motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Mr. Chun.
Now there's another string of identical sections related to federal compliance. These would be Senate Sections 52 through 56 and House Sections 9 through 13, and they're identical.
Representative Dean moves Senate Section 52 through 56.
Yes.
On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Mr. Chun.
The next section, this is identical, also federal compliance, correcting a cross-reference, Senate Section 58 and House Section 14.
Representative Dean moves Senate Section 58. On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Mr. Chun.
The next section is Senate Section 59. This is Senate only. This deals with Minnesota Care premiums and cost sharing. There is an amendment A-135 that could be passed out, and this amendment, I guess, was prepared by department staff to match with the agreement with the governor related to increasing Minnesota Care cost sharing and premiums.
Representative Dean moves the A-135 amendment. On that motion, or any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. So Representative Dean moves.
I'm sorry, you'd also have to adopt the Senate Section 59.
That's what I was
saying. Oh, sorry.
Yep.
Okay, thanks.
Representative moves adoption of Senate Section 59, then as amended. On that motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Mr. Chun.
The next section, this is Senate Section 61, House Section 30. This is related to managed care administrative costs, and we suggest you adopt the House language, since that was what was amended. And
Representative Dean moves adoption of House Article 1, Section 30. On that motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
The next section, Mr. Chair, is Senate Section 62. This deals with the Senate's non-emergency medical transportation language that was adopted earlier.
Representative Dean moves Senate Section 62. On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Mr. Chun.
Next section is Senate Section 64. This is a report related to the opioid prescribing improvement program, and it's Senate only.
Representative Dean moves Senate Section 64. On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
The next section is Senate Section 65. This is the establishment of a task force in healthcare financing. It's Senate only, and let's see, this was funded in tracking.
Representative Dean moves Senate Section 65. On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Mr. Chun.
The next section, this is Senate Section 66. This is requiring DHS to develop a payment methodology related to health disparities, and this is also funded in tracking.
Representative Dean moves adoption of Senate Section 66. On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Mr. Chun.
Mr. Chair, the next section is House Section 33. This is a capitation payment delay, and this is in tracking.
Representative Dean moves House Article 1, Section 33. Any discussion? One second. This is the payment delay? Didn't see it, huh? Mr. Chun, do we want B? I don't think we do. The track sheet does not follow B.
18. Let's see. 135, 135, 134, 17. Mr. Chair, I think the tracking is different. I'm not sure if we need B or not. Perhaps we could consult as needed and match the tracking. Decide about
Representative B. Dean moves adoption of House Article 1, Section 33, instructing staff to make it conform with the tracking document. On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails.
Mr. Chair, the next section is actually an amendment. I guess it's a replacement for some of the House verification audit provisions. So this is the A120 amendment. And this is language, I think, prepared by the department, based on the agreement.
Representative Dean moves the A120 amendment. On the A120 amendment, any discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Mr. Chun.
Mr. Chair, I think the last section, this would just be the repealer section. So I think to match tracking, I think this would be a combination of House and Senate as follows. On the House side, the only repealer that would be included would be the repeal of Section 256.01, Subdivision 35. And then on the Senate side, the repealers in paragraphs A, B, and D would be included, leaving out paragraph C.
Mr. Chun, on the council side by side, it says that the 256.01 sub 35 on the House side is being repealed to conform to the repeal of Minnesota Care Program.
Mr. Chair, it's partly to conform, but it's also probably should have been described differently as well. So it's kind of a mistake in the summary. It's tied to the waiver request.
Is it with the federal compliance? Sort of. I don't know 256.01 sub 35.
Mr. Chair, that is language that instructs the Commissioner of Human Services to seek federal waivers to apply federal premium tax credits and other funding to enrollees with incomes up to 275% of the poverty guidelines.
That's fine. Okay. So let's take them one at a time. Representative Dean moves House Article 2, Section 18, repealer only as applied to 256.01, sub 35. On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Over on the Senate side, Representative Dean moves adoption of Senate Section 67, paragraphs A, B, and D. not paragraph C. On that motion, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. That wraps up Article 10. Any other amendments related to Article 10? Seeing none, Representative Dean moves adoption of Article 10 as amended into the Conference Committee report. On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. We have one more article to go through, and it is Article 11. I'm not going to go into the article itself. We stepped through it and had a little discussion earlier, I don't know, last week or whenever it was. Representative Mack is going to offer the A-133 amendment. We're going to have that passed out. We're going to work off of that. There's a handful of sections from this that we will be adopting and a handful that we will not. I'm going to go with the sections that we will be adopting. Maybe I'll give it a minute for folks to grab it. This is a...
Thank you.
Well, from this... What is it? Oh, obsolete language? Double check.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. I'm asleep. So great.
So, from this, we're going to propose, Representative Mack is going to propose adopting sections 2, 4, 10, 11, 12, 14, 19, 20, and 22. We can quickly go through and describe each one. I can do it. You can do it.
Whatever you can.
Go ahead.
Okay. Mr. Chair, Section 2 deals with the early release of rates in MNSURE. Section 4 deals with repealing some of the exemptions that MNSURE was originally given when created. Section 10 deals with an appeals process for folks in MNSURE, clarifying what their appeal options are. Section 11... basically deals with agreements and how minute services are operated. Section 12 eliminates some of the rulemaking. Okay, Section 12 just deletes some obsolete language. Section 14 deals with the prohibition of other product lines being sold in MNSURE. Section 19... allows for the application of a federal waiver for the shop, that tax credits could be accessed outside of the shop. Section 20 deals with an application for a federal waiver for people to have access to tax credits outside of MNSURE. And Section 22, deletion of obsolete language. Mr. Chair.
Yeah. So, with that, Council okay with the form of that motion to adopt those sections and the others just will not be adopted? Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. With that, that's all we're going to do in Article 11. Any other amendments for Article 11? Seeing none, Representative Mack moves adoption of Article 11 as amended into the conference committee report. On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Members, we're done with the language. We have Article 12, the appropriation article. I don't think we need to do anything with that. We can do that through instruction to staff. I think we have a final spreadsheet with a couple of corrections and technical adjustments. We can that out and yeah, and we'll post that online. We've only got copies for members. We're moving an appropriation not from page on page 11 from line 629 to page 14, line 799. And Representative Dean moves adoption of the final spreadsheet. On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. And Representative Dean, any closing comments?
Sure. I just want to thank all the conferees and particularly the staff who worked incredibly long hours and under enormous pressure to get this turned around. And also to you, Senator, and to your conferees for being very good to work with and amenable and putting together a product in a very, very short period of time with some outside constraints beyond our control. We really do appreciate that, not just on my personal behalf, but on our conferees and also our staff as well. And to the advocates and government relations folks, it's, I always like the Health and Human Services Committee because I always say there's not a lot of bad things we do. We do a lot of good stuff. And the hard part is picking which good stuff to do, but it tends to attract a lot of really good people. A lot of you guys are here and stuck with us all night, so it's been great to see all of you here and work with you on this bill and look forward to the work ahead. So many thanks to the folks who stuck with us here today and willingness to work ahead to days, weeks, and months and years ahead.
All right. Well, I too would.
Make the motion to give the authority to the staff to make any technical changes.
Absolutely.
I think there were maybe one or two.
We were going to make sure we don't forget that one. And staff start clamoring pretty loudly if we start forgetting that one. On Representative Dean's motion on allowing staff to make technical and conforming changes, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. And I, too, would just like to thank staff briefly and thank you ahead of time for all the work that lies ahead still. We're probably going to get to go get some sleep, and I know you guys have a long path ahead of you. And I'd like to thank all of our conferees and Representative Dean personally and all of your conferees from the House. I think it's been a very cordial and efficient and effective conference committee. With that, Representative Dean moves adoption of the conference committee report, again, allowing staff to make technical and conforming changes as needed. On that motion, any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Members and members of the public, we stand adjourned. Thank you.